Hello. This is a really special episode of Untangling Toys because, as you can see, we're coming from the Anaheim Convention Center for WonderCon 2024. Today's episode is going to be on a very unique form of play, cosplay. What is it? How do you do it? And what is it? If you don't know what cosplay is, this might seem to be a very unique cultural experience. And just like any unique cultural experience, if you were to travel the world, it's good to have a guide with you. Sorry, it's a little cold and rainy out here today. And this costume that I am wearing is for desert wear. But if you have a guide with you to help you through a culture, that's always great. We're going to get the cosplay equivalent of Rick Steves to talk to us about what is cosplay. Part of the way that filming this episode worked was I had to film it in bits and pieces as we went. So the interview was shot yesterday, which is why if I show up in it, I'm in a different costume. And then I'm shooting this part of it today. Cons. Conventions, con. Con is short for conventions. In cosplay, cons are very important to it because this is where people come to show off all of their hard work, to see each other's work, and to be seen. There's a whole lot more to it than that, but this is sort of the big form of play that we are talking about today on Untangling Toys. Let's cut to the introductory bit, and then we'll meet back up inside where it's warmer. If you've never been to a con before, basically it's a convention where a lot of people get together and dress up and celebrate their favorite fandoms. And these aren't just your big fandoms, you know, like your Supermans, your Iron Mans, your Marvels, your Star Wars and Star Treks. Oh no, you got some really specific fandoms here. Yeah, that wasn't a word. You might not even think it's possible that another person was into that really niche fandom that you are into. But here, this is where you can make connections that'll last a lifetime. All right, so let's go check out the floor of the convention. Follow me. Cons have become pretty big things lately. You've probably heard about them even if you haven't been to one. And the first time I went to a con, it was pretty overwhelming and I really had no idea what was going on. And the first time you do go to one, you could feel like quite the fish out of water being thrown into a world very, very different than the world that you have come to know. A lot of people think it's only about comic books, but conventions or expos have grown a lot, and now they are about a lot more than just comic books. They're also about movies, really anything pop culture, video games, anime, and manga. Right now, we are on the dealer's floor of the convention. There are thousands of booths here. New stuff, vintage stuff, stuff that they've made. And there's also a lot of artists here, celebrities and actors. There's also panels where the artists and creators and celebrities talk more in depth about the things that they're making or will make. We just came from a panel talking about classic Universal horror movies like Dracula and Frankenstein and The Mummy. And then the big part that we're going to talk about today and that you can see all around us is cosplay, where you dress up as your favorite character, and then what? And then what do you do? Well, that's what we're going to learn about today. Not for me. We're going to talk to some much more experienced, much more talented cosplayers. So we'll see you after the break. Yeah, see you soon. So now I am here with three friends and three amazing cosplayers, and they are going to talk to us about what is cosplay.
It means I play dress up as an adult. Cosplay is costume play. It means that we dress up and we play as these characters.
It's not for a play, like a theater play, and it's not for a movie shoot.
They can be theater performers. They can be in television or be doing like fan films or something. But in general, a lot of the time, we're just dressing up to get together and hang out, to do photo shoots with our friends, to like go to conventions together and show off our costumes and like bond with other people who like the same things that we do and stuff, and just to like go out in character and have a fun time.
I just realized I forgot to ask you guys to introduce yourselves. So the first thing I'm asking you, introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Erica. I'm Erica Alamode on social media. I am a cosplayer, costume designer, and historical costumer. And so I love everything from Disney to Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, and like Renaissance and Regency and Victorian costuming. Today I am a Druid Moana for a D&D and Disney, that's Dungeons, Dragons, and Disney group. Mm-hmm. So we all were different Disney characters with different D&D classes. And so I am a Druid Moana. This is my animal companion, Pua. And I'm a very happy to have such a squishy companion for the day.
And who are you today?
Today?
Yeah, just who are you today?
Just today? Well, today I'm Colette.
Who are you most today?
Okay. I'm Charlotte Kriska. I go by Evil Queen Charlotte online. Been cosplaying since 2006. I started off doing a lot of anime cosplays, and then I got more into fantasy cosplays. Marvel was huge, and Star Wars, so a lot of Disney. Most recently, I got into a lot of historical costuming, and kind of just kept branching out, learning new things, exploring new things that piqued my interest. Today, I am dressed as Colette from Ratatouille, also part of the Disney Dungeons and Dragons and Disney group. So I am a wizard, Colette.
I am Alejandro Bonilla. I am abonia84 on social media, on Instagram. I've been cosplaying since 2015, and I started off just going to cons with friends casually, and I didn't dress up then, but then I saw everyone in costume and I thought, that looks like fun. So at first I just bought a few store-sold costumes in Star Trek, Starfleet, and later on I realized I want to wear something that doesn't exist. So someone is going to have to make that. So I did part of that and I commissioned other people to do other parts, and now I do all kinds of weird costumes. Today I am supposed to be Yen Sid, the sorcerer from the titular Sorcerer's Apprentice from the Disney animation.
How did you guys get into cosplay? I was about to say, how did you get into D&D, but that would be a whole other conversation.
A friend of mine in 2014 made an amazing costume piece for Halloween. He had been in makeup and in casual costumes before, but he decided to be very serious about this one, and he made a Mass Effect armor piece. Head to toe, chest piece, leg armor, arm guards, the whole 10 yards. And he looked so good that my friends and I decided, we need to show you off some more. And we'd heard about cons before, but we decided, we need to take you to a con so you can be seen by everyone.
Right.
And we didn't go small or anything. We went to the biggest one, San Diego Comic-Con, right off the bat.
San Diego Comic-Con is really big?
It has 200,000 people attending every year.
So your friend wasn't even intending to go to a con when he made his Mass Effect suit?
No, he was not. It was our first con, and after that we went to cons in Star Trek uniforms and other costumes.
I got into cosplay with Halloween as my gateway. Growing up, Halloween was kind of the time that I would...
That's pretty common for people, right? Halloween's the gateway.
They would feel like Halloween, just one day out of the year, isn't enough for them. They, like, enjoy dressing up. And so that was definitely me. Like, in third grade, I went as one of the Hex Girls from Scooby-Doo and the Witch's Ghosts. Nobody knew who I was, but I did. So, like, I spent a lot of time, like, figuring out how to make this costume that wasn't, like, a go into a Halloween store and buy this costume.
Like Alejandra said, you wanted to do something that they didn't make.
Exactly. And then, like, in fifth grade, I wanted to be Legolas from Lord of the Rings. Again, nobody knew who I was except for, like, the teachers. But, yeah, so, like, was very into creating costumes that I wanted to, that I had seen for like Halloween, but not the ones that are bought, you can buy in stores, because these weren't in stores yet. I did the same thing in high school, freshman year of high school, wanted to be Sailor Jupiter because I grew up watching Sailor Moon. So I was like, all right, I'll be Sailor Jupiter. So me and my mom created a Sailor Jupiter costume. And at my high school, we had an anime club and a manga club. And I remember walking through campus and seeing somebody from the anime club. I was in the manga club, and he was dressed as another anime character. And he was like, oh, you cosplay too? And I was like, what is that? And so he told me about it. I was like, that sounds amazing. I want to do that. And
you sort of started cosplaying without even realizing that's what it was you were doing?
That's what it, kind of, yeah. Okay. Like, I always, you know, loved dress up when I was a kid, but then, like, it was something that I never grew out of, and obviously I still have not grown out of, and I don't think I'll ever grow out of it. I kind of started it before I even knew what it was, and I was like, this is amazing. This is what I've meant to do my whole life, I guess. I don't know.
We had a family-owned tailor shop in Hawaii, so I always grew up around sewing machines and, like, handmade clothing and stuff, and that was just always the norm for us. And store-bought costumes were expensive, and so when Halloween would come around or when school plays would come around, we would always make our own. My mom made costumes for me, my grandma made clothes for us and everything. Halloween would roll around and there was just always this expectation that my costumes would be homemade. I was Miss Spider from the children's book, Miss Spider. I was Aria from the Aragon books when I was 10. I was one of the Greek muses when I was in maybe fifth grade. I was always very specific things that you wouldn't really find in stores, but I never really looked in stores because I grew up around homemade costumes. When I got to high school and I started hearing about, like, oh, this thing called cosplay is a thing. Like, people dress up, they go to San Diego Comic-Con, they, like, show off their costumes, they have a good time, they, like, hang out with other nerds who are into things like movies and TV shows and books and stuff. I was like, that sounds like a lot of fun. I love superheroes. I love Star Wars. I love Lord of the Rings. I want to do those things. I always wanted to be Arwen when I was little. I always wanted to be Hermione or a Jedi. Like, I always wanted to be those characters when I was little, and I was like, well, I guess now there's a way for me to do that. I started costuming at the Disney convention that in 2017 that we were both at and didn't meet. I started costuming there thinking, oh, well, this will just be a one-off. It'll be really fun. And I'm probably not going to stick with it because it seems really time-consuming and I just have a lot of things going on right now. But I had such a good time and I met so many really cool people. Didn't meet you, though.
Not me.
Yeah. Even though we were, like, two chairs away from each other or something like that. And so I met a bunch of really cool people and they were so supportive and so friendly and so welcoming. We were already dressing up in costume and we were already making custom costumes and everything, but the aspect that we were missing was kind of the community side, because we were doing it on our own. We were dressing up on our own. We were doing costumes for Halloween or maybe for plays or just because we wanted to. I think I wore a fairy costume and wings for like a year of my life when I was 6, and my mom had to wash it when I went to school because I would put it on immediately when I got home. And so I was already doing the costuming thing. It's just that we weren't doing it as a community or with other people. And so
speaking of other people, here's even more
cosplayers. Yeah, and then here's some of our other cosplay friends. Yeah. Rick of Rick Nerdvaro on Instagram. We have Lena of Sweetheart Cosplays. And we have Krista, Sincerely Krista, on Instagram. All very talented cosplayers.
Is one of the differences between just playing dress up and cosplaying the community?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a big part of turning dress up into cosplay is going to conventions, having cosplay friends, building a community where you can dress up together. It brings a bunch of nerds together who like the same thing, so we can enjoy that same thing together. And it's not as isolated as playing dress up on your own.
And it doesn't even have to be like a big event. We literally will dress up as the Addams Family and go get dinner or go to like our local spooky house. So like it doesn't have to be a big event every time. We don't have to get like too many people. Like we know that we like to dress up. So we're just like, yeah, let's dress up and do this. Like it's at the point where we're like, if we all are going to something together, we're just like, are we dressing up or not? What's the dress code?
Clearly, you guys put so much work into your costumes. Going to a convention is one way to show it off to everybody, but the photography is a big part of it, right? That's sort of how you save it.
It really is a huge part. And show maybe it to more people. We should talk to Krista. We can ask her some questions from off screen.
I am a firm believer that the best way to show off your cosplays online is to have a good photographer.
Uh-huh.
Someone like Krista of Phase and Photos, that's her photography account, who can help you showcase your work in a really stunning way. Making your costume is really only half the battle when you're cosplaying. Making your costume and getting into it, putting your makeup on, accruing all of your pieces and stuff, getting in character, that's only half the battle.
How long did it take all of you guys to get ready this morning?
The three of us took about 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
About 4 hours.
Wow.
30 minutes.
One of the most important things that you can have is a good photographer as a cosplayer, because you want someone who knows how to use a camera, who knows what the settings mean, who knows how to frame your cosplay, how to angle your photos and stuff, so that you can really show off the detail work that we put into our costumes, all the love and attention that goes into recreating like a screen accurate Anakin Skywalker. Like if you don't have a good photographer to show off your costumes, and create really good cinematic photos of your costumes, then you don't really have a great way to showcase your work to others online. And so it's really only a showcase in person kind of thing. And a lot of our social activity now is online based because there's such a big cosplay community on social media, and we can't have conventions every weekend.
Even though you guys were already cosplaying and going to cons, did most of you meet online?
I actually met them through an online friend. One of the people who I met at the D23 Expo introduced me to a mutual friend of theirs online, and then he invited me to a party where I met them. And then I met these two online during the pandemic when we would watch Lord of the Rings together on Zoom.
Most of the people going to cons are adults, even though there are some kids here. But would you sort of say that cosplay is mostly something adults do?
I don't think it has an age associated with it, to be honest, because I feel like there's room for everyone. Obviously, like, I think the reason that there are more adults here is because they have more means to have cosplay. But I think, thank you, but I think that it's definitely for, you know, all ages. Yeah, I mean, primarily adults, but I would say, like, you know, a lot of people start like in their late teens. Cosplay is progressing along, is aging along with the people who are doing it, because I'm seeing, you know, more and more people in their 40s, 50s, 60s doing it, because they started doing it, you know, 20, 30 years ago, and they haven't stopped, because, you know, it's not, contrary to popular belief, it's not something you age out of. It's, you know, it's a hobby, it's a lifestyle like any other hobby or lifestyle.
Just the fact that, as Rick said, cosplayers are aging up. They're also bringing their families along.
Oh, yeah.
So they'll bring their kids, who will be forced to cosplay with their parents.
Yeah.
I don't know who would do that. Some of those kids, a certain percentage, do love it as well, and then they become the next generation of cosplayers as well.
There's also something to be said about being an adult with adult money and your ability to make costumes when you have adult money.
Right.
Because when you're a kid and your allowance is what's limiting you. You can't really indulge in the Padme Amidala lake dress that you've been dreaming of since you were five, but once you're an adult and you work a job and get a paycheck, then you can afford fabric and dye.
That's actually an interesting point, because I started cosplay a freshman year of high school, so obviously I didn't have much money.
Right.
Like, I had like a little like allowance money, so I would spend, like, all my early costumes were made out of cotton because I hated dyeing fabric, and so I was like, all right, I'll just make it out of cotton because that's easy enough to afford and they had the colors I needed.
So as far as how hard is it to get into, it's however hard you want to make it or however challenging you're feeling up to it?
The good thing about this community, though, is that it is very collaborative. And so I love sewing. That's something that I've been around my entire life. And I have some friends who don't know which end of a sewing machine does what. So, like, but they can do things like lightsaber builds or like armor builds or 3D printing. And so we'll do trades. We'll trade and we'll collaborate together. And like, I made a costume for a friend and he built me this beautiful copper lightsaber with mother of pearl inlay that I would never have been able to build myself. Everyone brings different skills to the table.
Because it is so collaborative and communal, and because of lots of social media, there are easy ways to see, to watch tutorials, to learn tutorials on how to make anything that you want to make. So if there's something that you're like, oh, I want to make that, you can easily probably find an Instagram reel, a YouTube short, or a YouTube long form. Depending on how you learn, you can find a way to probably learn it at this point because of how popular cosplay has gotten. So we've made it
much easier than in early years.
Yes, yeah. Yes, much easier these days than back in my day.
I remember when Lord of the Rings came out, I remember going to the library and asking the librarian, do you have a book on how to make chainmail? And she thought I meant the kind that's like, you know, spam. You mail somebody a chain letter. Yeah.
You can also thrift things.
Oh, yes.
Thrifting is really cool because you can piece things together, and it doesn't mean you're less of a cosplayer because you didn't sew it yourself. I thrifted most of this.
Wow.
And it's so cute.
So.
A lot of adults have trouble making friends and playing, but through cosplay, you're able to make a whole lot of friends and make a whole lot of connections. And Lena, you mentioned you met somebody just because they were dressed as the same character as you, right?
One of the important things that cosplay really brings to people who otherwise can't really like socially interact or don't know how, for either reason. Oh my gosh.
I think so.
We'll return after
a platypus ball gown. Bury the platypus ball gown. It's, again, like I said, it's one of the important kind of aspects of social life is finding just a common interest.
Because there's multiple layers of commitment to this. Not only is it you really like the show, you also really like making things, and you also really like the characters.
One of the things that I wanted to note on the social aspect, a lot of us weren't really that kid in school that was considered cool.
Oh, I was.
We weren't really, yeah, like none of us were really the popular kids that had a lot of friends. And I was kind of thinking about it, and I feel like I actually have more friends now than I have at any other point in my life. But having this common activity where we physically advertise the things that we love, like going out in my Moana cosplay shows people I love Disney, I love princesses, I love Moana, I love Hawaii,
I also love being cold on a rainy day.
I sure do.
Multiple small children have come up to you to take pictures with you.
Yeah, a lot of little kids have come up to me and stuff. I've bonded with a lot of their parents and stuff over like the love of Moana and some of the songs that they've heard on repeat because their kids keep demanding to watch Moana. It's one of those things, like when you're a little kid, you wear everything you love on your t-shirts. You have a dinosaur t-shirt, you have like space t-shirts, truck t-shirts, like My Little Pony t-shirts and stuff. You advertise what you love. And as you become an adult, you kind of do that less and less. A lot of us will wear sweaters and jeans and like sensible shoes, and none of that really says like this is my personality, this is what I love. But when you're at a convention where you know everyone in this community loves nerdy things, loves movies, video games, television, books. I met Rick because we were both huge Star Wars nerds, and so we loved Star Wars costuming, and so we both went to a Star Wars lightsaber choreography practice. And you cosplay and do choreographed lightsaber fighting as a performance. And that's how we met.
To quote Mr. Darcy, I do not have the talent of conversing easily with people I have never met before. But through cosplay, it makes it so much easier because you just form that connection with people. I've often wondered, like, why have I been in this hobby for so long? Like, you know, I think my parents are still expecting me to kind of age out of it and, like, that it's just a phase. But the reality of it is that this is, you know, something I think I can speak for all of us that, like, we all have loved nerdy fandoms for most of our lives. And this is, like, a great way to, you know, connect with other people through that. You know, I can't just go up to someone randomly at a cafe or at a bar and start a conversation. That's just weird. At a convention like we are now, you know, it's perfectly socially acceptable to go up to someone and be like, hey, you're that character from that Jurassic Park cartoon, which just happened downstairs. It just makes it so much easier, and you form these, like, lasting friendships. You know, now a lot of people that I've met in a very superficial level, like, oh, I like your cosplay, have now become, you know, much closer and deep friendships. So,
oh, another example of French.
Yeah. Comic cons and cosplay conventions have definitely grown in the past few decades. Do you think this is a height of its popularity? Does it have a long way to go still?
This is the current height of its popularity. Like, even when I got into it in, like, what, 2015, it was still kind of like the nerdy thing to do. Like, TV shows would still talk about, like, comic conventions, but in, like, the demeaning way. It is a goofy thing that we do. We dress up like fictional characters, but we embrace the goofy. And also, especially during the pandemic, more and more people just didn't have anything to do, so they'd put on fun costumes and shoot a TikTok, and so now everyone everywhere is finding out about this thing called cosplay, and so more and more people are delving into this world, going to conventions, and now that the convention scene is open again, it's just growing and growing and growing.
Costuming and costume parties have always been a thing. You can find historical fashion plates from costumed balls and costume parties that people held where it's like a Victorian gown that's also like a moth or something, or like an 18th century Rococo gown that's somehow also like a pastoral ballerina. Costume play has always sort of been a thing. It's just that now there's a specific genre and a specific community for it that's come together through conventions. Because media is constantly evolving, conventions can sort of evolve with them to adapt and like stay current. So like we went through a huge wizarding phase where everyone was doing a lot of wizard-oriented stuff. We went through a vampire phase. and vampire movie actors were at conventions and doing panels and showing on like vampire costumes. And then we went through a superhero phase and a dystopian phase. And so cosplay is constantly evolving, and I think there will always be a place for costuming and the make-believe that comes along with it and the wish fulfillment that comes along with it. Whether or not we continue doing conventions of this setting, there's always really going to be a place for costuming.
Well, thank you guys so much for talking about your passion on the show and spending your time here. Bye.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We'll talk to you more later.
Bye.
See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Did you say see you next week?
Is this not a weekly podcast?
Not a weekly podcast about us. Wow.
That's all for this week's episode of the Untangling Toys podcast. Thank you so much to Erica, Charlotte, Alejandra, all the cosplayers who told us about their passion and how they play. Thank you for listening and or watching. If you're liking the show, you can watch it, subscribe it, rate it wherever you listen to shows. That helps it grow. And then if you have any questions for us or suggestions for future episodes, you can always contact us at untanglingtoys@gmail.com. Until then, I'll see you on the next episode. Bye. And we are at the top of the stairs. We made it.